This week's Parsha is Parshat Noach. The Parsha begins with a continuation of the events at the very end of Parsha Bereishit. Bereishit, unfortunately, was full of sin, full of mistakes, full of missed opportunities. Man was created and placed in the Garden of Eden, and very quickly they find themselves exiled from the Garden. This was followed by murder, but at the very end of the Parsha, we're told about a whole society which now exists. And it was a society which was based upon violence. It was a society which caused God to come down and to judge this society to the extent that they were going to be wiped out and only one family was going to continue, and that, of course, is the family of Noah. So while the beginning of the Parsha has a sin and a complete breakdown in the society, the end of the Parsha has a second type of a breakdown, and that's the generation that built the tower. And they, too, are frustrated from their attempt to build this tower, and at the end, they're sent and they're dispersed all over the world. Now, if we compare the two generations, or the two sins, as it were, and they have to be careful, because there's no sin which is mentioned by the building of the tower. God comes again and judges, although those who are sensitive would realize the name of God which is used is a different name. It's the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the one which is completely in the narrative of the dispersion. While in the generation of the flood, we find different God's different names being used in different sections, and that itself deserves study and analysis. But over here, there's no judgment that takes place. It's not God as Elohim who comes and judges. It's not the judge who comes and enters into the court and listens and finds them guilty, and then the flood comes. Over here, something else happens. Matter of fact, it's very hard to figure out what exactly they did which was wrong, because at face value, what they did sounds, to a certain extent, to be positive. It says there was a unity. They all spoke one language. And they said, let us build a tower, and the tower is going to reach up and make for ourselves a name. And we should be careful with that. Again, Na'aseh Lanu Shem, because it could be a name, or it could be some kind of a memorial, as it were. As in Yad Vashem. And God comes and frustrates their plans and, as we said, disperses them all over. Now, unity sounds like a good thing. Speaking one language sounds like a good thing. If we look at certain verses in the prophets at the end of days, it speaks about people being unified and speaking one language and so on. So why was it premature at that point, or what was the problem with it? Now, in our world, I think quite fortunately, we live in a world where most countries, we would call most enlightened countries, have something which is called democracy. Democracy is not just where the majority rules. Democracy also takes care of the minorities. Minorities also have rights. The problem or the question would be, what happened to the minority in this generation of building the tower? Did the minority have a voice? Now, everyone's of one voice. Perhaps the minority does not have the ability to speak. Now, if we read between the lines, and we read between the lines using rabbinic tradition, something I think quite interesting emerges. We're told all the world was together and all the world was in one place. Now, according to at least biblical chronology of the rabbis, Noach was still alive. Not only was Noach, therefore, one of the participants, either actively or passively, as an elderly man, he should have been the patriarch, as it were, and all the people there are his descendants. His son Shem, who's generally considered to be one of the quote-unquote good guys, would have been there. In fact, the story itself is told in the midst of telling over the genealogy of Shem. So Shem is there and Noach is there. And the Sefer Olam Rabbah, again, this book of rabbinic chronology, tells us of one other person who was there. Somebody was quite young, and his name was Avraham. He was also a participant. But here's where it gets interesting. We know that Avraham was not accepted for his views, for his beliefs. In fact, we're told, according to rabbinic tradition, he was thrown into a furnace. So where was this furnace? When we read carefully, we're told that they took the sand and they made out of it bricks. In order to do that, you need to heat it. The only furnace which is hinted at is that furnace of making the bricks. Avraham was there. And it could very well be, and I think that this is what the rabbis are trying to tell us, when everyone is of one voice, they're all of one voice except for one person. Avraham HaIvri, he's from the other side. He believes in something else. And they weren't tolerant to that belief. which means the problem of that unity is that they were unified, but they weren't unified in a positive way. Other opinions could not exist. Other opinions were treated when they were thrown into a furnace. The preaching of Avraham, which taught about a kind God who demanded kindness, was not there at that tower. This type of unity, therefore, was not accepted. Nonetheless, God did not punish them per se. He sent them about where presumably different people can reach different types of conclusions and have different types of lives and have different types of beliefs, instead of all being forced by a totalitarian regime to all accept one worldview. The generation of the dispersion was very different from the generation of the flood. The generation of the flood was one of complete immorality. The generation of the dispersion was a generation of intolerance.